Vegas Golden Podcast, a player a day preview series. I'm Case alongside with Justin, and day three is all about number 81, Jonathan Marchessault. Kind of feels like the forgotten man to me, at least among the Golden Knights stars this offseason. You had Carlson, who we talked about yesterday with the whole contract situation. You, of course, still have fans riding a high from what Mark Stone was able to do at the end of last year, and that kind of elevated the guys around him. I feel like I haven't heard the name Jonathan Marchessault in the last couple months.
Yeah, he hasn't had a whole lot happen this summer. I mean, he signed his contract last year. He's locked up for, what are we at now, 5 more years for Marchessault? Yeah, 5 more years. You know, he's just kind of been around. He was in town. He was skating on the day that Derek England had his contract signed and his kind of press availability. So he's been here, but he's just kind of been a guy this offseason. Not a whole lot of chatter about him. That'll change once the season starts, because he'll probably be right back where he left off at the end of last year.
Interesting. I was having this conversation with someone about what guys stuck mostly here and what guys decamped mostly to somewhere else. I would have thought Marchessault might be a guy that just goes away for a few months, but maybe with a long-term contract, I guess he might be one of those guys that's planted his roots here and stuck mostly locally and during the off season. You think?
Yeah, he's got a house here. He's got, you know, a kid was born here. And though, to be fair, if I had the ability to leave Las Vegas during the summer months, I might, but if I did, you guys would stop paying me. So I'll be here.
But Jonathan Marchessault, why would he need to leave? He, the all-time franchise leading scorer, of course, and I think goals and points, led the team last year.
Just assists. Carlson still got him in goals.
Oh, okay.
Carlson had 43.
I didn't say assists, did I?
No, you said goals and points. I'm telling you that it was assists that he leads.
Oh, okay. Not goals yet. Not even with the playoffs.
I think
I was including both.
I don't know.
Points for sure, he's number one. It's actually what I was first getting at.
He's tied with Carlson with points.
Oh, really?
In
all time?
Yeah, for regular season.
Okay, for regular season. I was thinking, to get my reasoning nailed down, I was thinking regular season and playoffs. Because yeah, okay. I know even the first year points wise, he caught Carlson if you included the playoffs. So,
that's right.
So anyway,
sorry to do that to you. I didn't mean to throw you
off. I did not fact check though, so I really was just spitting that out of nowhere. Either way, he's been a guy that's been extremely important to the franchise and will continue to be going forward. He's still only 28 years old. He's still going to rack up a lot of minutes this year, and I don't see a whole lot changing when it comes to Marchie.
Nope. He's been pretty steady in the last 3 years. Dating back to his last year in Florida, he's had 30 goals, 27 goals, 25 goals. Points fluctuated a little bit with the assists. The last 3 years, his points have been 51, 75, and then back to 59. I think, like we talked about with Carlson last year, I think that that's just when you have a 43-goal scoring center, you're going to get a lot of assists. But I think that 50s, maybe even into the 60s number is probably where Marchessault truly is, and that's very good, particularly for $5 million a year.
Yeah, definitely. They have him on another good team.
The entire line, Carlson, Marchessault, and Smith combined to make $15.9 million this year. That is quite good.
I know it's something that's been talked about for years. I mean, even when the team was conceived, and I think it was when these guys signed their deals, but I really think the whole no state income tax thing is why you're getting to see numbers like this.
Yeah,
I think guys are taking a little bit less money knowing that they still are going to end up with more than they would elsewhere.
Yeah, it's certainly helping. Carlson and Marchessault signed contracts here. Smith did sign his contract in Florida, but that is another state without state income tax. So, it definitely helps. Marchessault signed that six-year extension at the beginning of the inaugural season, and that's looking like it's going to be $5 million a year. He played the first year of it last year, but to have a guy like that who's going to, you know, flirt with 30 goals and 60 points for $5 million is pretty terrific when you can fill out the roster with some other guys who are making more money.
I have heard some people kind of take the opposite view of you. I don't know which one is right, but they've kind of waffled on the contract. Like, I don't know if we needed to lock this guy up for so long. It kind of killed. I feel like probably that's a short-sighted view. I mean, I know signing all these contracts in advance kind of handcuffed them for what they could do this offseason, but I still think you look at the long-term contract holds and figures, they still have a lot of room to maneuver going forward.
Well, yeah, you look at some of the people that signed this offseason. This is when, well, when would Marchessault have been a free agent? I guess last offseason. But, I mean, yeah, they were hamstrung this year, but are you really giving up Marchessault at $5 million a year in order to have more payroll flexibility? I don't think so. I really like that contract for the Golden Knights. And I also have a very simplistic view of contracts when it comes to if you can get a really good player signed for a while for not that much, just do it. That's what they did with Carlson. That's what they did with Marchessault. So Stone, he's a really good player who cost a little bit more. But they did that one. You got to pay for good players.
Rules to live by. Yeah, I got to agree with you on that.
It's very simple. If everybody just did that, things would be easier. Why I'm not a general manager, we may never know.
Well, we've been a real general on Marchessault about, you know, the numbers he's put up, what he means to the team. But if you're describing, I guess, on the ice, why this guy is special, what makes him important, I'll make you Jonathan Marchessault's agent right now. What really does stand out to you in that regard?
I mean, if I was negotiating for him, I think it's pretty easy. I think you put him on in a perfect fit with a guy like Carlson and Smith to his right. You've got Carlson who can score and dish it out. You've got a guy in Riley Smith who has been kind of pass first and plays defense very well. And both Carlson and Smith have been able to kind of cover for maybe what is the down part in Marchessault's game is that, you know, his defense isn't up to snuff with his line mates, but it's not like he's a total schlub with it. I mean, he's got positive possession numbers. He has his entire career, even dating back to Tampa Bay before he was in Florida. He controls the puck well. He shoots well. He's a goal-scoring winger who can also dish it out. He does everything that you want to in the offensive zone. He plays where they have him set up on the power play, kind of on that on that wing side where he's able to just get a quick release at the net. He's just a perfect fit for this Golden Knights system playing on that wing. And it showed. He was tremendous in the inaugural season. He was a little bit down, I suppose, last year. Same thing with what we had talked about yesterday with Carlson, but still quite good.
Yeah, and those defensive shortcomings might have ended up being a benefit to Vegas if you really look back and look long-term, because it was kind of baffling how much Florida wanted to get rid of the guy, and that was supposedly a big reason why, is maybe they just did not think that his defense could be overcome. I mean, it's only been 2 years. I still think that's enough of a sample to say they were wrong, but I think that's got to be part of the reason why he was available in the expansion draft to begin with.
I would think so, and maybe part of those defensive shortcomings are masked by guys like Carlson and Smith being able to get back and help him out. But and then there was talk after the expansion draft of Marchessault being a problem in the locker room and them just not wanting to deal with it, and I couldn't see anything more from the truth from what I've seen anyway. Obviously, I'm not in the dressing room all the time, but he's a guy that's loved by the team, and you see it. He's willing to go to bat for his team. We make the enforcer Marchie joke whenever he jumps into a scrum, but he's a guy that is basically the whole package and what you want in a player.
Yeah, and I feel like the opposite is true. I mean, he's always keeping it light, joking around with guys. I feel like it's hard for me to imagine him being a bad apple at all. I guess I could say maybe the one factor that might have had Florida say that is he is like so competitive. He might be one of those guys that's like competitive to a fault, that so loves to win, that maybe Florida that year, when they weren't great, when things were going wrong, I could see him being irritable that way. But that hasn't been a problem with the Golden Knights.
No, they've been good, and you're certainly right, that's possible. And being in the dressing room after Game 7 against the Sharks, he just unloaded. He had some thoughts, and he wanted us all to know him, but he's a good player. And one thing that I found that's interesting is, I mean, he's a goal scorer, as we can see, and you look at some of the numbers behind the numbers, and he should probably be maybe a little bit better at scoring goals than he has been. Like, take last year, for instance, he scored 15 goals at 5-on-5. Individual expected goals number were about 15.5, so about right there. Shooting percentage, though, at 5-on-5 was down to 7.3. So his shooting percentage did drop a little bit, kind of where you'd expect it to stabilize. And shooting percentage for the season was right about 9, which, you know, about league average. But a guy like this probably shouldn't be scoring at a league average rate. You'd think that, or converting shots into goals at a league average rate, a guy like this should probably be doing a little bit better, you'd think. So, especially because his shot percentage the years before were all higher. So this is a guy who I could expect. We talked about Carlson yesterday kind of being around the same level that he was, I think we could potentially expect a little bit more than the 25 goals that we got from Jonathan Marchessault this season.
Makes sense. I think those are a bunch of great points, but it was hard for me to even focus on them because I'm thinking, okay, this was only 4 or 5 months ago, but how I just totally forgot about his final words kind of last season, or less his locker room scrum after the Game 7 loss.
That was probably not, but it was an effing joke. He comes in and...
That was epic.
It was, and somebody asked him, it's like, hey, do you feel like this was stolen from you? And he's like, yeah. Like, couldn't believe that we were asking the question. He was furious, and it was awesome.
I know wounds are still open for the Golden Knights fans, and I understand that, and probably not something you want to revisit, but after they have a really good season this year or whenever, I think everyone should go back in YouTube and revisit that, because that's like a... I don't know. I think that's a classic moment, whether Jonathan Marchessault wants it to be or not, whether the fan base wants it to be or not. I think that was very telling of... kind of his personality and in his role on the team.
It was the first, with due respect to losing in the Stanley Cup final, the first real heartbreak in Golden Knights history, because it was kind of you were playing on house money when you got to the final 2 years ago. Last year, you were up 3-1 against a team that people had predicted you to beat, that said that you were better than, even if you were the visiting team in the series. But I think that Marchessault echoed a lot of the fan sentiment in his post-game media, and people appreciate that.
Yeah, well, so put some respect on Jonathan Marchessault's name. I feel like he has not been talked about enough, and I think the guy is
we'll talk about him once the season starts.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
I think he's already a Golden Knights legend. I'm kind of rehashing a column I already wrote in the first season, so Google for that and read it. But I feel like he was like a folk hero in those first playoffs, and I think he should be even more of that after these second playoffs.
He's a lot of fun. He's one of my favorite guys to go talk to.
One of the go-to quotes for sure.
Yeah. Particularly after a loss. He was very good, and he kind of tells you how he feels after a loss, whereas a lot of guys, not just in Vegas, but you know, across the league, are kind of like, we tried hard. Kind of thing. Marchessault will kind of tell you how he feels, which as a reporter I appreciate.
And now, since you committed to learning French a couple episodes ago, you have a new route to talk to him.
Yeah,
you can get some exclusive content.
There we go. We have a company program when it comes to like taking night classes or something. Maybe I'll look into that and take night classes and learn French.
Yeah,
talk about again in a year. Maybe I can speak at a remedial.
I think the hours are pretty short, so you have to learn. You're gonna have to learn it pretty quick. But maybe we can work something out for
you. Can I expense Rosetta Stone? I'll talk to Brewer. But Jonathan Marchessault, good. If you're just tuning into this podcast now.
All right. Well, every one of these A Player a Day previews, we like to end on a prop bet. The Westgate Las Vegas Superbook has made it easy for us by putting goal totals up for a lot of these guys, including everyone we've talked about so far, including Marchessault. Justin hasn't heard any of them yet.
Nope.
I have, so I've thought about them for about the last hour or so. But Jonathan Marchessault, it's going to sound real familiar. The Superbook has him pegged the same as William Karlsson, over under 24.5 goals this season.
I'm going to go over. I think kind of for those reasons that I've said. You look at, he hasn't failed to score 24 goals in the last 3 years. He gets that power play time. Like I mentioned with Karlsson, he's out there when the opposition has an empty net. He had 5 empty net goals last year, 4 the year before, 5 power play goals last year. So they put him in a position to score goals. The position that they put him on the power play is meant to score goals, not really to pass the puck as much. Over 24.5. I feel pretty safe in that one, to be honest with you.
you're making me second guess, but I don't know. We're really just drawing the straws here anyway. I'm gonna go under just barely. My reasoning is I feel like both these guys are at 24.5. I feel like the way it's probably gonna play out, one of them is going over and one of them is going under between Karlsson and Marchessault if they continue to be on the ice together a lot at the same time. I went over on Karlsson. I got real excited talking about him. So maybe I go just slightly under with Marchessault. So I guess to make a stronger case, maybe. I mean, once they got Mark Stone, you did see the minutes decrease a little bit for those guys. So maybe he's not going to have quite the workload. I mean, he's still going to be on the ice a ton, but maybe his minutes come down just a little bit. And those empty netters, yeah, he has 9, like you said, and that seems like it'll be a possibility. But that's also something that, you know, I think might be able to regress.
A certain level of randomness.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah,
so.
I
think one of these guys goes over and one goes under. I could very well be on the wrong side, and it's Marchessault who goes over, but I'm sticking with what I said. I took Karlsson over first. I'm going to go Marchessault under.
Fair enough. Yeah, I've got the opposite there.
All right, well, we will finish off tomorrow this longtime first line mates. Carlson down, Marchessault down. Riley Smith is next up here on A Player A Day Preview Vegas Golden Podcast.